to see the wedge her deception had driven between them, but she couldn't deal with Natalie's righteous indignation at the moment. She was too embroiled in monsters from her past. She couldn't allow her old life to cross paths with the new one she'd worked so hard to build. And, at all costs, she couldn't risk losing Jake. Haley chewed on her lip as she drove to a small park a short distance from Huntington and Dodd. She pulled up next to a children's play area and switched off the engine. For several minutes, she watched a succession of rosy-cheeked toddlers trundling up ladders and slithering down slides, limbs askew, before mustering up the courage to pull out her phone and dial Tina's number. It rang a couple of times, and just as she'd resigned herself to leaving a voicemail, a wary voice said, "Hello? Tina, it's me, Haley." She swallowed down the trepidation rising in her chest before plowing on in a breathless tone. "Did you get my email?" After a ponderous silence, Tina answered in a guarded tone. "You shouldn't have contacted me. Did you email the others too?" Haley debated with herself before responding. She didn't want to give out too much information up front. Not before she'd heard what Tina had to say for herself. "We can talk about the others in a minute. First, I need to know if you told anyone what happened. And don't lie to me. My life's been an absolute nightmare for the past few months. Someone knows, Tina, and they've got it in for me. They tried to kill me." When Tina spoke again, the words came out in a strained whisper. "Do you have kids?" Haley gripped her phone tighter, the palpable note of fear in Tina's voice ratcheting up her own dread of what was coming next. "No, but I know you have a daughter. If someone found out what we did, then all of our families are at risk. If this comes out, the media will destroy our lives. You know that as well as I do. You need to tell me the truth, Tina. I can't do anything about it if you don't come clean." "That's assuming it was me," Tina said defensively. "You can't prove anything." Fear coiled in Haley's gut. It sounded like an admission of sorts that Tina had ratted them out. Haley would have to tread carefully to extract the truth from her. "I'm not assuming it was you," she replied. "I'm simply asking you to tell me if you know anything at all about what's been happening to me. We swore an oath to protect each other by keeping our mouths shut. You owe me the truth, at least. We have to stop this person from talking and hurting our families. And if we need to come together one last time to do that, so be it." Tina let out a sharp breath. "How are we going to stop them?" Haley gritted her teeth in frustration. She still hadn't gotten a straight answer. Tina was deliberately dancing around the issue, but Haley was fairly certain she'd told someone, or perhaps inadvertently let their secret slip. "I have a few ideas," Haley replied with more confidence than she felt. "It depends on who this person is and how they react when we confront them." In reality, Haley had no clue how she was going to confront her stalker once she identified him. It was probably a matter the police were better equipped to handle, but she didn't dare involve them any more than she already had. She still wasn't sure what the stalker's motivation was. It seemed more and more likely that it was someone from school who had an axe to grind with her and the other quads. They'd rubbed a lot of people the wrong way back then. It was entirely possible someone still harbored a grudge and had been only too thrilled to find out their dark secret and use it against them. Haley racked her brains trying to think of who Tina might have blabbed to, but no one came to mind as a likely candidate. "Do you think this person would hurt our families?" Tina asked, her voice wobbling. "I don't doubt it for one minute. They've already hurt my family," Haley reminded her. "They beat up my husband. What if your husband's next? How are you going to feel about that if you keep your mouth shut when you could have done something to stop it?" "You don't think they would hurt my daughter, do you?" A hint of desperation had crept into Tina's voice. Haley steeled herself. She wasn't about to reassure Tina that her kid wasn't in any danger. It might be the very motivation she needed to finally start talking. "I don't know what they're capable of," Haley responded. "They cut my brake line, so that should tell you something." She studied her nails, trying to resist the urge to scream down the phone at Tina and demand that she tell her what she'd done. Tina had always been one to process things slowly. She was likely mulling over her options even now, weighing the consequences of coming clean. If she had talked to someone, it wouldn't have been something she'd done lightly or divulged in a drunken state. Tina was far too circumspect for that. There must have been a good reason for it, although Haley couldn't think of one that justified breaking their oath to one another. Growing desperate at the protracted silence on the other end of the line, she opted to ratchet up the pressure. "Please, Tina, I'm begging you. I'm afraid for my life at this point. I can't sleep or eat. My work's suffering. My marriage is cracking under the strain. Just tell me the truth. That's all I'm asking you to do." "Promise you won't say anything to the other quads?" Tina's voice sounded small, almost as if it had traveled from some distant planet or another time zone. Haley dug her fingernails deep into her palms, willing herself to stay calm and not rush her. "I swear it will stay between us. Viv and Lachlan haven't received any threatening messages, so they don't need to know anything. Whoever's behind this is only targeting me, for now." Tina exhaled wearily. "I didn't mean to say anything. I was only trying to show a little compassion, and it slipped out." Haley frowned. Compassion was hardly an excuse for breaking their oath, but she needed to tread gently now that Tina was talking at last. "Okay, tell me exactly how it went down."
"It was about 5 years ago. I was dating this guy before I met my husband. One night we went out for drinks, and he started telling me all about how his mother hanged herself when he was only 15. He broke down and began crying in my arms. I didn't know what to say. I was trying to comfort him. I mentioned that a girl in our school had hung herself, and that I understood how shocking it must have been for him."
"That's all you said?" Haley demanded impatiently. "You didn't tell him what we did?"
"Well, not exactly," Tina replied, sounding decidedly uncomfortable.
"Not exactly?" Haley echoed, unable to curb her mounting frustration any longer. "What's that supposed to mean?"
"I told him one of my friends had posted something on a notice board that upset and embarrassed the girl, and that I felt responsible for not stepping in and stopping it from happening. That's it. I swear, Hales, I didn't mention names or anything."
Haley grimaced. "Where did you meet this guy? Was he from Chino Hills?"
"No, I met him while I was working in San Francisco. But he said he had friends in Chino Hills. He knew our high school."
Haley scrunched her eyes shut. "What was his name?"
"Travis. Travis Ramsey.
I need to talk to him. Do you still have his contact information?"
"I might have his cell phone number, but I've no idea where he's living anymore. He moved out of the area after we broke up."
"I can track him down. Just give me whatever information you have for him."
"Please don't mention my name," Tina begged.
"Of course not. I'm not going to confront him directly. I'll have the investigator I hired look into him. Try to find out if he's behind what's been going on. Don't worry. There's no way he can trace anything back to you."
"I still don't understand why he's harassing you," Tina said.
"It might not be him," Haley pointed out. "He could have talked to someone at our high school who had an axe to grind with us."
"There's no shortage of people who have every right to hate us," Tina said, sounding chagrined. "I'm really sorry, Hales. Like I said, I never intended to say anything. It just happened in the moment. He was so distraught."
Haley pressed her lips together tightly in disapproval. She wasn't prepared to serve up platitudes to ease Tina's conscience. What she'd done was a blatant betrayal of their oath. But Haley wasn't that same vengeful quad sister she'd been back in high school, and she didn't have any desire to drag this out any further. What she needed to do now was focus on damage control.
"My husband just walked in," Tina hissed into the phone. "I have to go. I'll text you that number."
The line went dead before Haley had a chance to respond. Dropping her phone into her lap, she draped her arms over the steering wheel and squeezed her eyes shut. The nightmare she'd lived with all these years had finally reared its ugly head back up to haunt her. Of all the rotten luck that, in a moment of alcohol-induced empathy, Tina had spilled their dirty little secret to some guy with friends in Chino Hills. Friends who might even have gone to their high school, for all she knew. Haley straightened up and stared out at the murky playground, a tangle of iron frames and plastic tubes, now steeped in shadows. The herd of chubby-legged children had thinned out, headed home with their parents to begin their evening routines. She reached for her phone again and opened up her notes app. Resigning herself to resurrecting the unwelcome ghosts of her past, she hit the speaker button and began dictating a list of classmates from Chino Hills High who had every reason to harbor a grudge deep enough to murder for.
Chapter 23.
For the second night in a row, Haley barely slept. She had confirmation now that their secret was out,
and there was no telling how far it had spread. It might be only a matter of time before her stalker called in an anonymous tip to the press, or even the police. What kind of a sick, twisted person would do this to her? She'd made an awful mistake, but she'd turned her life around because of it. Surely she didn't deserve what was happening to her now. Haley stumbled through the rest of the day in a daze, and her work suffered as a result. Nick called her into his office and chewed her up about several errors he'd uncovered in the research she'd turned into him. Chastened, she took her case notes back to her desk to make the requisite corrections. She could feel Natalie's eyes on her as she worked, but she avoided looking in her direction. They were scheduled for their next self-defense class after work that evening, but Haley was beginning to wish she hadn't involved Natalie in her mess. It only obligated her to keep answering questions she couldn't answer honestly without revealing the ugly truth. When the day drew to a close, Natalie approached her with a sheepish grin.
"Do you want to ride together?"
Her tone was conciliatory, edged with caution. "It's tough to find a parking spot at the studio." Haley shrugged. "Sure, I guess." In all honesty, she'd rather be free to jump in her own car and drive straight home after class, but she had a feeling Natalie was seeking an opportunity to straighten things out between them. In the underground parking structure, Haley retrieved her gym bag from her car before climbing into Natalie's Camry, thankful that, for once, Lance was nowhere to be seen. "I'm sorry I haven't been forthcoming about what's been going on," she offered as Natalie started up the car. "It's difficult to talk about it." "That's kind of the point of having friends, though, to help you through the tough times," Natalie replied as she pulled out onto the road. "What concerns you should concern me, but I can't help you if you insist on keeping it to yourself." Haley leaned her head against the side window and stared out at the cars whizzing by. "It's just that I think what's been happening has something to do with my past. My high school years, to be exact. And I was hoping not to involve you in it. I just want to forget that stage of my life. I wasn't a happy person back then. I didn't know who I was, and I did a lot of things I'm ashamed of now." Natalie let out a snort. "None of us knew who we were in high school. That's why it's called growing up." Haley nodded pensively. "But some of us make mistakes that follow us for the rest of our lives." Natalie pulled her brows together. "How big a mistake are we talking here? Did you give up a kid for adoption or something?" Haley gave a wry grin. "No, nothing like that." "So, is your stalker some old boyfriend who's still obsessed with you?" Haley shook her head. "No, at least he's not an old boyfriend of mine, but it's possible he dated a friend of mine." "Well, that's progress. At least you have a suspect now. Why would he want to stalk you if he dated your friend?" "Like I said, I wasn't the same person back then that I am today. You wouldn't have liked me in high school, Nats. I was what you would call a mean girl. I did the kinds of things that make people hold grudges against you.
The kinds of things that scar a person for life."
Natalie was silent for a moment as she pulled up outside the studio and put the car into park. "We all did junk in high school. How bad are we talking?" "Big league bad?" Haley turned and met Natalie's inquiring gaze. "If you really want to know, a spiteful prank I played backfired, and a girl died as a result. No one knew I was behind it, other than three close friends who were with me at the time." Natalie's eyes grew wide. "Yikes! What was the prank?" Haley threw her a woebegone look. "Does it matter? It makes me sick just thinking about it. The point is, I was a complete jerk. I was part of a gang, and we spent our time tormenting socially awkward kids. There, I've said it now. That's why I didn't want to tell you about my past. It nauseates me to think about how I treated people back then. Anyway, I hired a PI to track down the other girls in my gang. There were four of us, and we called ourselves the Quad Squad. I found out that one of them told an old boyfriend about what we'd done. Turns out he had friends in Chino Hills where we went to high school. Someone must have put two and two together. So, the cat's out of the bag, so to speak." Natalie grimaced. "What are you going to do about it?" "Hire the PI to track this guy down and tail him for a bit? Try and figure out if he's the one who's actually stalking me? If it's not him, I'll have to confront him and find out who he talked to at my old high school." "This is getting really creepy," Natalie said, sounding subdued. "I think it's time you took Haruki's advice and get yourself a gun." Haley swallowed hard. "I want to see what the PI comes up with first before I decide on my next steps."
Her phone dinged, signaling an incoming message, and she pulled it out. Her heart skipped a beat when she saw it was from Tina. One of the girls in my gang just sent me her ex-boyfriend's contact info. I'm going to email this to P.I. Fisher right away. The sooner he jumps on it, the better. She typed a quick explanatory email and hit send before climbing out of the car. For the next hour and a half, Haley and Natalie concentrated on Haruki's demonstrations of various self-defense techniques. Haley forced herself to pay close attention, only too aware that it could mean the difference between life and death if her stalker confronted her at some point in the coming days.
"Excellent work, ladies,"
Haruki said with a neat bow at the end of the session. His piercing eyes searched Haley's face.
"I can see you're taking your training very seriously. I assume your stalker's still at large."
Haley nodded, not trusting herself to speak. Haruki blinked solemnly.
"I stand by what I said. You can't rely on your ability to outfight someone who is stalking you. A stalker has the element of surprise on his side."
"That's what I've been trying to tell her," Natalie chimed in. "She needs a gun." "I'm hiring a private investigator to track down the stalker," Haley answered. "Once I know who I'm dealing with, I'll decide how far to take things. With enough evidence from the PI, the police might even be able to make an arrest." Haruki rubbed his chin thoughtfully.
"Enlisting the help of law enforcement would be wise."
He bowed again by way of dismissal and stepped off the mats. The girls thanked him and made their way out of the studio to Natalie's car.
"If you want, I can follow you home," Natalie offered when she pulled into Huntington and Dodd's parking structure. "I feel like the stalker has upped the ante of late, and Detective Tillett warned you not to go anywhere on your own after dark."
"Thanks, but it's not necessary," Haley assured her. "I'm perfectly safe in my car. I'll text you as soon as I get home." Natalie twisted her lips to signal her disapproval.
"Your choice. I'll wait until you're safely out of the parking garage, at least."
Haley hugged her goodbye. "Thanks, Nats. You're a good friend for sticking by me." A short time later, Haley pulled into her driveway without incident. The lights were on, indicating that Jake was already home, thankfully. After her conversation with Tina earlier, she was more afraid than ever of being alone. There was a long list of people from her high school days who had a bone to pick with her, and any one of them could be her stalker. She might even have more than one.
"Hey, sweetheart,"
Jake said when she walked into the living room.
"How was your exercise class?"
Haley flopped down on the couch next to him. "Exhausting." He wrinkled his nose.
"You stink. You'd better hit the shower before you snuggle up with me."
She laughed. "After I eat, I'm starving. Did you pick up anything?"
"I grabbed us some salads on the way home. Yours is in the fridge."
Haley leaned over and planted a kiss on his lips. "You're the best." She lifted her hand and stroked his cheek gently. "I'm so glad you're safe, Jake. I don't know what I'd do if anything had happened to you." He squeezed her hand softly, his eyes clouding over.
"Don't be silly. Nothing's going to happen to me, I promise. Or you. I'll make sure of it."
Haley got to her feet and made her way into the kitchen to greet Katniss. She jumped up, wagging her tail excitedly. After ruffling her ears and petting her, Haley washed her hands and retrieved her dinner from the fridge. She settled down at the kitchen table and poured dressing over the goat cheese and arugula salad. Her stomach rumbled. After all the calories she'd burned at her self-defense class, she could have used something a little more substantial than a salad to eat. But she was grateful not to have to start cooking this late at night. She dug her fork into the lettuce and propped her phone up against the fruit bowl, searching for something mind-numbing to watch on YouTube. After devouring her salad, she hit pause on the home remodel episode she was engrossed in and went over to the refrigerator to dig out a tub of ice cream from the freezer box. She figured she'd earned the calories. When she returned to her phone, bowl in hand, she noticed a new email from P.I. Fisher. Had he dug up the information she'd requested on Travis Ramsey already? She parked her spoon in her ice cream and opened up her Gmail to find out.
"Hi, Haley. I got your email earlier and did a quick online search for Travis Ramsey. The phone number you gave me is no longer valid, but it wasn't too hard to track him down through social media. Interestingly enough, it appears that he's living only a few miles from you. I've enclosed a folder with some photographs which I pulled from social media. Most of them are from several years ago. I had a hard time finding more recent shots. If you need anything else, let me know. Otherwise, consider this a freebie, as it only took me 15 minutes or so to pull this together for you. Best regards, P.I. Fisher."
Haley's breath balked in her throat. Was Travis Ramsey, Tina's ex, really her stalker? The fact that he lived only a few miles away seemed to indicate he was a likely candidate.
With shaking fingers, she opened the folder in the email to access the photos P.I. Fisher had enclosed.
She clicked on the first one and stared at it in disbelief. The face was bearded and the forehead slightly more elongated, but the eyes looking back at her were Jake's.
Chapter 24.
At 8 o'clock the next morning, Haley found herself sitting in a chair opposite P.I. Fisher in his office, watching his reaction as he compared the photo of Jake she'd given him to the photos of Travis Ramsey he'd unearthed on social media. She'd taken a personal day off work, unable to face the thought of tackling the stack of case files on her desk while wrestling with the ever-evolving nightmare blowing up in her face. It had been chilling to learn that her stalker was living within a 5-mile radius of her, but the fact that he looked eerily like her husband had completely unraveled what was left of her nerves. The worst alternative of all, the one she refused to dwell on, was that the man might actually be Jake, wearing a false beard to disguise himself. Maybe Edith had been right after all. "So, do you think it's him?" she prodded when P.I. Fisher leaned back in his chair and slid the photo of Jake across the desk to her.
"I'm not sure. I have to agree with you that he looks a bit like him, but that could be a fluke. Any chance he could be a relative?"
"Jake doesn't have any siblings," Haley replied, her fingers fluttering nervously to her throat.
"What about a cousin or something? Have you met any of Jake's relatives?"
Haley shook her head. She racked her brains, trying to recall if he'd ever mentioned a cousin. Jake's parents died in a car crash a couple of years ago. His dad was an only child, and his mom's only sister never married.
"That doesn't rule out the possibility that she had a son,"
P.I. Fisher pointed out.
"In fact, Jake might not even know he has a cousin."
Haley frowned. "I suppose I could ask him about it, but I don't want to alert him to the fact that I've hired an investigator." P.I. Fisher nodded thoughtfully.
"In that case, if you want to leave it with me, I'll do some more digging and try to find out if this Travis Ramsey is a relative of Jake's."
He scratched the stubble on his chin.
"You need to understand that this could change everything. I don't know if you've thought about this angle yet, but it's possible the stalker is after your husband, and not you at all. Everything he did to you might have been to get at Jake indirectly. If there was bad blood over something in the past between Jake's mom and her sister, it's possible this is someone out for revenge."
Goosebumps pricked Haley's skin as she tried to digest what P.I. Fisher was saying. It was a possibility she hadn't considered until now. It would certainly explain why the intruder had beaten up Jake and not her. But she didn't entirely buy the theory. The stalker had made a point of letting her know he'd found out about her terrible secret. It felt too personal to be a campaign of terror directed solely at Jake. She exhaled a shaky breath. Wherever the truth led, she was going to need help getting there. She looked across at P.I. Fisher and gave a reluctant nod. "Please do whatever it takes to find out if there's a connection between this man and my husband. Wherever the truth lies, I need to get to it." P.I. Fisher's expression darkened.
"In the meantime, you'll have to watch your back. Do you own a gun?"
"No, I hate the idea, although I'm not going to rule it out at this point. I do have a German Shepherd at home, and I just started taking self-defense classes." P.I. Fisher tapped his knuckles on the desk, looking contemplative.
"Well, it's a start. All things considered, I'm going to advise you not to share any of what we've discussed with your husband until we clear up this man's identity. We don't know yet what transpired between them. There could be some history there that your husband may not want you dredging up. Of course, it's entirely your decision."
"I won't say anything for now." Haley reached for her purse. "Please contact me as soon as you have any more information."
"You bet,"
P.I. Fisher said.
"This could take me a day or two, so bear with me."
He shook hands with her across the desk and then escorted her to the door. Back in her car, Haley sat quietly for a few moments, thinking about the photos of Travis Ramsey that P.I. Fisher had shown her. It was hard to deny the striking resemblance to Jake. Even P.I. Fisher had acknowledged it, and he was a trained investigator. But what did it mean? Part of her wanted to drive straight over to Jake's office and confront him with the photos, but of course she wouldn't do that. Like P.I. Fisher had said, it was possible Jake didn't even know he had a cousin. Besides, there was still a chance the resemblance between the two men was purely coincidental. She needed to be patient and wait and see what P.I. Fisher came up with. If Jake found out that she'd been investigating him, she would have to explain everything, including why she'd hired a P.I. in the first place. And then the whole sorry story of her past would come tumbling out. Jake would feel utterly betrayed once he realized she wasn't the woman he thought he'd married. It could very well spell the end of their marriage. Haley toyed distractedly with her phone. She considered calling her parents, but ultimately decided against it. She hadn't talked to them much in the past few weeks, not wanting to worry them needlessly until she got to the bottom of the stalker situation. Frowning, she tossed the phone into her purse. The thought of going home to an empty house after her conversation with P.I. Fisher was disconcerting. On a whim, she decided to drive over to the martial arts studio and see if Haruki was available to give her a private lesson. Maybe it would bolster her courage a little. At the very least, she could kill some time practicing the moves he'd taught her so far. The studio would be quiet this time of the morning without the after-school crowd unleashing their boundless energy. Just as she pulled into the parking lot, her phone dinged with a new message. She turned off the ignition and glanced at the screen. Lachlan. Her heart began to race. What now? Surely she wasn't going to make good on her threats to sue her. Hey, H. I came on kind of strong in my last email, but to be honest, you completely blindsided me. I still stand by my original comments that I don't want to get embroiled in whatever is happening to you, but I need to know if either Viv or Tina admitted to talking to anyone about what happened. I've been thinking it over, and this could potentially be very serious for all of us. My husband's an experienced lawyer, and if necessary, he can handle this for us and make it all go away. But as you can imagine, I have no desire to drag him into this unnecessarily if it can be avoided. Please let me know what you hear from the others ASAP. LX forever. Haley stared at the email. Unlike in her first message, Lachlan had reverted to using her quad sister signature, purely as leverage, of course. It was typical of Lachlan to go after something she wanted by sweetening the pot. She hadn't changed much. She always could turn the charm on and off like a faucet. Haley closed the message and put her phone away. She wouldn't respond to the email. At least not yet. She'd given Tina her word that she wouldn't betray her confidence, and she didn't trust Lachlan not to use this against them. She only hoped P.I. Fisher was able to track down the information she needed quickly so she could get to the bottom of things before Lachlan's hotshot lawyer husband started meddling in the situation. Before she could talk herself out of it, she climbed out of her car and strode into the Eagle Martial Arts Studio. To her disappointment, Haruki had the day off, but she took to the mats and got to work practicing her moves, more painfully aware than ever that her life might depend on it. After an hour of sweating it out, she finally called it a day. Half-starved after her intense workout, she drove to a tiny Vietnamese restaurant off the beaten track and parked herself at a table at the back, out of view of the windows and passers-by. She was halfway through her lunch when she got a call from P.I. Fisher. Swallowing a mouthful of food, she pressed the phone to her ear. Hello?
Hi, Haley. Hope I didn't interrupt you.
No, I took a personal day. I can't concentrate on anything other than the stalker at this point.
That's understandable. As a matter of fact, after you hear what I'm going to say, you're going to want to put all your energy into getting to the bottom of this situation you're in.
A jolt of fear went through Haley at the somber note in his voice. She set down her fork and pushed her bowl to one side. What did you find out? P.I. Fisher cleared his throat.
It turns out Travis Ramsey is Dylan Ramsey's brother.
Dylan Ramsey? Who's that? Doesn't sound familiar. Haley frowned in frustration. P.I. Fisher grunted.
I figured you'd never heard of him.
I don't know either of them, Haley responded. Should I? For a long moment, there was silence on the other end of the line.
Dylan Ramsey changed his name to Jake Wilder 4 years ago.
Chapter 25.
Haley's throat constricted until she could barely take a breath. She clutched the phone tighter. No, it couldn't be true. This was worse than anything she'd envisioned. Jake's brother was her stalker? That meant her husband had lied to her about being an only child. But why? Her mind scrambled to put the pieces together. Did Jake know his brother was behind the stalking? She immediately banished the thought from her head. Of course he didn't. Jake must be estranged from his brother. It was the only explanation that made sense. That's why he'd told her he didn't have any siblings. There had to be a good reason why he'd cut all ties with his brother. Maybe Travis had some kind of criminal past. He might even owe Jake money or something. You're probably right about there being bad blood between them, Haley said, once she'd recovered sufficiently from her shock to speak. That would explain why Jake's brother is stalking both of us. He's trying to get at Jake through me. Were you able to find out anything at all about what transpired between them in the past? Maybe it had something to do with the inheritance after their parents died in the car crash? Another long pause ensued before P.I. Fisher responded.
Haley, their father died of cancer when the boys were still in elementary school. Their mother remarried, and she and her current husband live in a retirement community called Sunrise Manor, 2 hours north of here.
Haley's gut twisted with a new fear. She shook her head slowly, as if to convince herself that what she was hearing couldn't possibly be true. No, that isn't right. They're both dead. Jake told me all about how the accident happened. The roads were slick that day, and his father took a bend too quickly. He died instantly. Jake's mother lingered on for a couple of days in the hospital.
I don't know why he told you that,
P.I. Fisher replied.
I can only assume it's because he's estranged from his mother and stepfather, and he didn't want you to know they were still alive. I can try and look into their relationship and find out what happened between them if you want.
Haley pressed her knuckles to her lips, frantically trying to think things through and make sense of it all. Jake had lied to her about his parents, too, but there must be an explanation. Maybe his mother was crazy, just like his brother. Maybe she'd taken Jake's brother's side. Jake might be trying to protect his wife from his crazy family in the best way he knew how. But a tiny voice in her head whispered another possibility, that Jake had deceived her for some malevolent reason. She wasn't sure she could trust his motives. There was only one way to get to the bottom of it all. "Email me his mother's address," she replied firmly. "I'll drive up there and talk to her myself."
"Do you want me to come with you?"
P.I. Fisher offered, a note of concern in his voice. Haley considered his offer for a moment. She welcomed the idea of someone accompanying her, but it might only hamper her search for the truth. "Thanks for the offer, but if you come with me, his mother might be more reluctant to talk to me, especially if her son's in some kind of trouble with the law. I need to handle this myself. Find out once and for all what's going on." She chewed the inside of her cheek as she considered the significance of what P.I. Fisher had unearthed. If it turned out that Jake, a.k.a. Dylan, and his brother Travis were not estranged after all, it presented the frightening possibility that Jake had colluded with his brother in this campaign of terror against her. But that didn't make any sense. Why would her husband do this to her? And why had he allowed his own brother to beat him up? Was it all in a bid to cover up the fact that they were stalking her? Shaken to her core, Haley ended the call and plugged in the address for the assisted living facility on her phone. According to her maps app, it was a 2-hour and 8-minute drive. That gave her barely enough time to drive there and back before Jake returned home from work around 7. As far as he knew, she'd taken a personal day for a dental appointment, and she'd promised to make his favorite dinner tonight. It would be best to postpone her visit to Sunrise Manor until the following day. There was nothing else for it but to take another personal day and risk Nick's ire. And this time, she wouldn't disclose her plans to Jake. Resigned to her course of action, she drove to the grocery store and purchased the items she needed to make Jake's favorite pasta dish, Dylan's favorite dish. She still couldn't get her head around the idea that her husband's real name was Dylan Ramsey. She only hoped she didn't accidentally let the name slip over dinner. Her nerves jangled as she pushed her creaking cart toward the checkout. Somehow, she had to get through the evening without alerting Jake to the fact that she'd uncovered his web of lies. By the time he arrived home from work, Haley had already downed a glass of wine, but it did little to calm her nerves. Thankfully, Jake was preoccupied with a deal that had landed him several new clients that day and didn't seem to notice that Haley was making little conversation. Nonetheless, she breathed out a sigh of relief when he finally disappeared into the living room to catch a football game he'd set to record earlier. When she checked on him a little later, he'd nodded off on the couch. She closed the door quietly on him and let Katniss out before sitting down at the kitchen table and scrolling through her phone. Her eyes widened when she spotted a new email from Vivian. "Hey, H. Have you heard anything back from the others yet? I think someone's been watching me, too. I can't sleep anymore. I'm so frightened. I haven't been able to take my son to daycare for the past few days. I'm scared someone's going to snatch him. I can't go on like this. What are we going to do, Hales? I feel so guilty about what we did, especially now that I'm a mother myself. I knew this was going to come back to haunt us one day. I wish I'd never gone along with it. Please email me back and let me know what's going on. VX forever. Haley grimaced and swiftly deleted the email as she'd done with the others. She couldn't risk Jake inadvertently coming across it. Her heartbeat thudded erratically in her chest. She wasn't going to respond to Vivian, not until she had clarity on the situation. Suddenly, everything she'd believed about her stalker was up in the air. She needed to get her facts straight before she contacted the other quads again. She was still reeling from shock at the discovery that Jake had a brother who was stalking them. Some of the dots were connecting, but the biggest question playing in her mind now was whether Travis was wreaking havoc on Jake's life or working with Jake to wreak havoc on hers. Those were two very different scenarios, and until she knew where the truth lay, she couldn't trust her own husband. She grimaced as she unlocked a file drawer and pulled out a couple of wedding photos to stash in her purse. She might need them tomorrow to convince Jake's mother and stepfather who she was. She slept little that night, relieved when an orange glow in the sky heralded morning at last. Dressed in her workout clothes, she let Katniss out in the backyard before taking her for a quick walk around the block. When she returned, Jake was puttering around in the kitchen making breakfast. He poured her a mug of coffee and kissed her on the cheek. "Hey, sweetheart. Sleep well?" "Great," she lied with a plastic smile. "I need to jump in the shower and get going. Nick has to be in court early this morning. I'll catch up with you tonight." She headed upstairs and closed the bathroom door behind her, trembling all over as she scrubbed at her cheek where Jake's lips had briefly rested. Dylan's lips. She didn't know the man she'd been living with at all. Was he a monster? Or was her husband's life in as much danger as hers from the estranged brother he'd tried in vain to cut all ties with? After showering, Haley pulled on black slacks and a print blouse and applied a light dusting of powder and lipstick before making her way out to her car. For the next 2 hours as she drove north, she played out in her mind what she would say to Jake's mother and stepfather when she finally met them. She needed to modify her presentation for every eventuality. They might have disowned their sons, cut off all contact, or they could have dementia for all she knew. Would they be hostile or welcoming once she told them who she was? Did they know she existed? A finger of fear tingled down her spine. What if Jake's brother was following her right now? She could only assume he had to go to work at some point, so the odds were in her favor that he wasn't trailing her. At least that's what she chose to believe. The alternative was too unsettling. Shortly before noon, she pulled into the parking lot at Sunrise Manor. Gentle walkways curved around well-manicured green lawns, interspersed with rustic wooden benches at regular intervals. A horseshoe of pastel cottage-style houses framed the communal area. As she made her way to the address P.I. Fisher had sent her, Haley nodded and smiled at the elderly residents strolling past her along the walkways, some with small, elaborately coiffed dogs on leashes. Taking a deep breath, she raised her hand to rap her knuckles on the front door of Cottage 207. But before she could do so, a bird-like voice from behind startled her. "Can I help you, dear?" Haley spun around and stared at the diminutive silver-haired woman leaning on a stick who had walked up behind her. Gentle creases in the woman's face curved into a questioning smile. Haley's mouth opened and then closed again as she struggled for the right words to introduce herself to the woman she assumed must be her mother-in-law. "Hi, I'm Haley Wilder," she blurted out. One of the women's thin eyebrows inched upward. "Do I have an appointment with you?" Before Haley could answer, a plump woman ambled by, huffing and puffing. "Morning, Caroline," she called out cheerily. Jake's mother turned and waved back at her. "Morning, Jen. See you at the bridge game tonight." She fixed her attention back on Haley. "I'm sorry to keep you waiting, dear. Are you the new resident assistant?"
No, I'm not. But I do have something important to discuss with you if you can spare a moment."
Caroline rubbed her brow distractedly.
"Yes, of course. What did you say your name was again?"
Haley Wilder.
"Ah, yes, that's right. Forgive me, I'm a tad forgetful at times."
As she poked a bony finger at the numeric keypad to open up her front door, Haley tried to calm her racing heart and reorient her thoughts.
Caroline hadn't recognized her married name,
which indicated she had no idea her son had changed his name. Haley would have to tread carefully. If Caroline was estranged from her son, it wasn't likely she would want anything to do with a daughter-in-law either. Haley followed her inside the cottage and sat down in the plush wing-back chair Caroline pointed her to.
"I'll just let my husband Ronnie know I'm back," she said. "He wasn't feeling too good this morning, so he stayed in bed instead of accompanying me on my walk."
As soon as Caroline exited the room, Haley's eyes drifted around the space, her gaze settling on a photo frame on the windowsill. She got to her feet and walked over to it.
After a moment's hesitation, she picked it up and examined it more closely.
Her breath caught in her throat. It was Jake and his brother as young teens, each with a fishing pole in hand, grinning broadly at the camera as they held up their prized catch.
She couldn't tell from looking at the photograph which of them was older, but Travis was a couple of inches taller than Jake, or Dylan, as he'd been called back then. She startled when Caroline reappeared in the doorway and hastily replaced the photo frame on the windowsill.
"That's a great photo," Haley offered.
Caroline beamed at her.
"Yes, those are my sons, Travis and Dylan."
She rubbed a crooked finger over her brow and peered at Haley.
"I'm sorry, did you say you were the new resident assistant?"
"No, I'm not." Haley fixed a patient smile on her face. "Why don't you take a seat and I'll explain why I'm here."
"I haven't even offered you a cup of coffee. Or would you prefer tea?"
Caroline asked as she made her way over to the love seat.
"I was going to make one for Ronnie, but he's still sleeping."
"Maybe later, thanks," Haley answered. "For now, I'd really like to talk to you about something." Caroline deposited her petite frame in the love seat and then leaned back, adjusting a cushion behind her.
"This sounds serious," she said, with a twinkle in her eye. "I hope Ronnie hasn't been causing trouble on the golf course again. I keep telling him not to talk politics. It just gets everyone all riled up, and next thing you know, they're throwing their clubs at one another and not speaking anymore."
Haley shook her head. "Caroline, I'm not on staff here. I'm your daughter-in-law. I'm married to your son, Dylan, except he doesn't go by that name anymore. I've only ever known him as Jake Wilder." Caroline blinked in confusion, rubbing her knotted hands together.
"But Dylan isn't married."
She drew her thin brows together in concentration.
"Travis married a nice girl, but they divorced 2 years later. Such a shame. I was looking forward to having grandchildren, but it wasn't meant to be, I suppose."
"Dylan and I got married 9 months ago." Haley pulled out a photograph of their registry office wedding and handed it to her. "We live 2 hours from here." Caroline's lips parted and she blinked uncomprehendingly.
"But I don't understand. Why didn't Dylan tell us he was getting married?"
Haley hesitated, reluctant to distress the elderly woman any further by adding that Dylan had lied and said his mother was dead.
"I'm afraid I don't have a good answer for you. When was the last time you saw him?"
"Well, it's been a while."
Caroline wrinkled her brow in concentration.
"He visited us at Christmas. Both boys stopped by."
Haley's pulse pounded an ominous beat in her temples at the news. By all appearances, the brothers weren't estranged after all. "Do you have any idea why Dylan might have changed his name?" Caroline's face fell. A lone tear rolled down the creases in her cheeks.
"I really don't know what's going on with those boys. They hardly ever come to see us anymore. It's been so hard for them, you see. They just can't let it go. Ronnie and I have accepted it and moved on as best we can under the circumstances."
She let out a long, shuddering sigh.
"But the boys have never been the same since their sister hung herself."
Chapter 26.
Blistering fear rippled down Haley's spine. Sister? Her mind worked furiously to piece it all together. It couldn't be Emma, could it? "You think you got away with it, don't you? Had Jake sent all those messages?" Her jaw wobbled as she tried to speak. Dylan never mentioned anything about a sister." Even as the words fell from her lips, she realized the absurdity of them. Of course he hadn't. He'd never talked about a brother either, and the little he'd told her about his parents was a lie. In fact, he'd lied about everything. Haley felt hollow inside. Was their entire life together a sham? Was his professed love for her a farce played out to lure her into his trap? Caroline stared back at her, a perturbed frown on her forehead.
She raised a gnarled hand to her temple and carefully smoothed a thin strand of gray hair back from her face.
Well, I imagine it would have been hard for Dylan to talk to you about his sister. He never talks about her to anyone. Travis and Dylan were both devastated when she died. They were a good bit older, you see, my first husband's kids. Max passed away when they were only little. They kept his last name, Ramsey. I married Ronnie the following year, and our daughter was born a few years after that. The boys adored her. They were very protective of their little sister.
Caroline got to her feet and shuffled over to a display cabinet next to the television. She opened a glass door and lifted down a small silver photo frame. After studying it for a moment, she hobbled back across the room and handed it to Haley with a sad smile.
That's our M on her first day of kindergarten.
Haley's hand shook so hard she could barely grasp the photo frame. M? Is that short for Emma? Caroline chuckled.
Emmeline, but she always hated it, said it was old-fashioned. She went by M, or Emma.
Haley's mind flashed back to her sophomore year and the first time the Quad Sisters had set eyes on Emma Murray. They'd sized her up pretty quickly, marked her as easy prey. Attractive, not stunning, shy enough for them to inflict some serious damage. She had never stood a chance. Haley grimaced. They hadn't thought of her as someone's daughter or sister, only as the object of their amusement. Haley mustered her courage to ask the question burning on her lips. How old was your daughter when she hanged herself?
She was only 15.
Caroline shook her head, dropping her gaze to the floor momentarily.
It broke our hearts. She had so much potential, so much to live for. Emma could play the piano beautifully, and she used to write all her own music. Poetry, too. She was a very sensitive child. The kindest person I've ever known. She wanted to be an environmentalist. She had a big heart for animals.
Haley winced, each reminder of the life snuffed out like another slash across her chest. Her head swam with memories coming thick and fast. Emma's diary, pouring out her hopes and dreams, her tender spirit that had shown so much care and concern for the world around her. Haley handed back the photo frame with trembling fingers, unable to bring herself to ask what high school Emma had attended. She couldn't risk Caroline posing the same question to her. But she needed to be absolutely certain this wasn't all a horrible coincidence, some desperate part of her still hoping against hope that it wasn't the same Emma. After all, thousands of teenagers attempted suicide every year. Haley sucked in a silent breath. Do you have a picture of Emma when she was older? Wordlessly, Caroline returned to the cabinet and retrieved another frame. She handed it to Haley with a heavy sigh.
This is the last photo I have of her. Ronnie took it on her 15th birthday.
Haley scrutinized the shoulder-length brown hair, the big blue eyes framed by thick lashes, lips so similar in shape to the ones she'd kissed a thousand times, it almost took her breath away. How had she not seen a resemblance between Jake and Emma before? Maybe it was because she'd tried so hard to blot out the memory of the girl whose life she'd destroyed. Now, that memory was back with a vengeance. Her throat began to close over, her voice an uncomfortable rasp, as the horror of what was unfolding began to sink in. Her husband was Emma Murray's brother. He and his brother had hunted down their sister's killer, fully intent on revenge. The room began to spin around her. She had to get out of here. It wasn't safe to stay here any longer.
Could I get a glass of water, please?
Yes, of course, dear, Caroline replied, getting to her feet. I'm sorry if I upset you. I shouldn't have brought it up.
She disappeared into the kitchen, and Haley reached for a magazine from a rack next to the couch and examined the mailing label. Caroline Murray, 207 Sunrise Manor. There it was in black and white. Caroline was Emma Murray's mother. Haley stared at the photo of 15-year-old Emma, trying to decide what to do. The truth was staring her in the face. Jake, the man she'd promised to love, honor, and cherish until death, had set out to punish her for the unforgivable sin she had committed. And now she was in his clutches. There was no telling how far he planned to take his campaign of terror against her, but all indications were that he wasn't going to rest until she was dead. Confusion and terror swirled around inside her brain. Sooner or later, Jake would find out she'd visited his parents and discovered the truth about him. She wasn't safe in her own home.
She hadn't been safe since the day she met him.
Hurriedly scrolling through her contacts, she pulled up Detective Tillett's number. She needed to bring him up to speed on everything as quickly as possible. Caroline reappeared in the doorway, holding a glass of water. Haley got to her feet, downed it, and handed it back gratefully. "I'm so sorry, Caroline, but I really need to head home. Dylan's expecting me back for dinner. Please don't mention to him that I stopped by. I'm sure he'd rather explain to you himself why he hasn't told you yet that we're married.
He might be upset if he knew I'd been here."
Caroline puckered her brow.
"I can't for the life of me think why he kept something like this from Ronnie and me. We would have been happy for him, for you both, dear. We always wanted him and Travis to move on with their lives. Travis, in particular, couldn't come to terms with what happened. He even threatened to kill himself on multiple occasions. You can imagine how worried we've been about the boys all these years."
Haley wrestled with how to respond. She couldn't possibly tell Caroline the truth, that her marriage was a sham and Dylan a monster. She laid a hand on her mother-in-law's arm. "He was probably just trying to protect you. Maybe he didn't want you to think I was a replacement for Emma. I'm sure Dylan would have told you all about me in good time." Caroline nodded absently.
"Yes, I suppose you're right, dear. I hope to see you again soon. Ronnie will want to meet you, too. Drive safely. I really don't like the idea of you navigating the freeway at rush hour all by yourself."
Haley gave her a wan smile. "Don't worry. I'll be careful. And thanks for your hospitality." She couldn't bring herself to say that she was looking forward to seeing her mother-in-law again, too. If she got out of this situation alive, they would never meet again. Back in the safety of her car, Haley immediately dialed Detective Tillett's number. The phone rang several times, and panic streaked through her as she started up her car and pulled out of the parking lot. What if he was off duty? What if she couldn't reach him until it was too late? Seconds dragged by before he answered.
"Detective Tillett speaking."
"It's Haley Wilder," she blurted out. "I know who the stalker is. Stalkers." The words tumbled from her lips as she filled him in on everything she'd found out.
"You have to think through your next steps carefully,"
Detective Tillett said when she was finished.
"It's going to take some time to gather enough evidence to make a case against your husband and his brother. In the meantime, it isn't safe for you to return home. Do you have somewhere else you can go? Someplace they won't be able to find you?"
"I could stay with my friend Natalie," Haley suggested. "Jake doesn't know where she lives."
"You'll need to come up with a believable excuse for not going home. You can't do anything to alert your husband that you're onto him."
Haley chewed on her nail. "I'll tell him my mother has taken ill and I'm flying to Florida to visit her in the hospital."
"That should work,"
Detective Tillett said.
"Keep a low profile and take a few days off work. And don't leave your friend's house if you can help it."
"I'm just getting on the freeway now. I need to swing by my place first and pick up my dog, Katniss. I'll tell Jake I'm dropping her at the boarding kennel on my way to the airport. I don't trust him to take care of her."
"It would be better if you didn't go home at all. Can't you get your friend to go by your house for you?"
"No. If Jake checks the security cameras and sees Natalie, he'll know I was lying to him."
"Don't worry. I'll call his office and make sure he's there before I pick up Katniss."
"All right,"
Detective Tillett agreed with some reluctance.
"Let me know as soon as you're safely at your friend's house."
Haley ended the call and immediately dialed Jake's office.
"Hey, Rochelle, it's Haley. I wanted to stop by and drop something off for Jake. Is he working in the office today?"
"Yes, he's here."
"Great. Don't mention it to him. It's a surprise."
"No problem," Rochelle said with a conspiratorial chuckle. "My lips are sealed."
Haley set the cruise control and called Natalie's number next, resigned to finally telling her the truth, something she should have done a long time ago.
"Hey, Hales," Natalie chirped. "I was wondering where you were. It's not like you to take two personal days in a row. Is everything okay?"
"No," Haley replied. "Far from it. It's time I told you the truth about what's been going on." With a tremulous waver in her voice, she began to recount the whole ugly story on the long drive home. For once, Natalie remained subdued and let Haley do the talking. When she was finished, Natalie promptly offered to do whatever she could to help.
"Of course you can stay at my place as long as you want. What they're doing to you is horrific. It's criminal."
Tears stung Haley's eyes at her compassion. Natalie was the kind of friend she'd wished she'd been years ago when Emma needed her most. By the time Haley exited the freeway, she and Natalie had firmed up a plan. Natalie explained where the spare key to her apartment was and how to sneak Katniss into the building to avoid the security cameras. Her apartment complex didn't allow pets, but under the circumstances, Haley had convinced her it would be safer if Katniss stayed with them until Detective Tillett could make an arrest. As Haley pulled into her cul-de-sac, she saw the customary curtain twitch in her neighbor's house. She twisted her lips in a grimace. How ironic that she'd shared her suspicions about Harold with Jake. It was almost impossible to process the idea that her husband, the one person she thought would always protect her, was actually the monster who'd been tormenting her all along. For now, she had to do her best to compartmentalize that fact and concentrate on staying alive until Detective Tillett could piece together the evidence he needed to obtain arrest warrants for both brothers. Haley parked in her driveway, walked up to the front door, and disarmed the alarm. She needed to work quickly. Once she was safely out of the house, she would make the call to Jake to let him know her mother had fallen gravely ill and that she was catching a flight to Florida. She set down her purse on the hall table and made her way to the kitchen to greet Katniss. The room was eerily quiet, and her German Shepherd was nowhere to be seen. Haley's stomach gave a sickening lurch. Surely Jake wouldn't harm the dog, would he? She peered anxiously out into the backyard and whistled for her. To her relief, Katniss lifted her head from sniffing at something beneath a bush at the far end of the garden. She bounded excitedly toward her, surprised to see her home in the middle of the day. "Good girl, Kat!" Haley gushed, ruffling her ears. She wasted no time gathering together a few essentials, including a leash and a bag of dog food. "Wait here," she said, patting the dog's head. "I need to grab a few things for myself." As she turned to head for the stairs, Katniss emitted a low growl at the back of her throat. Haley came to a sudden halt and looked down at her questioningly. "What is it, Kat? What's wrong?" Katniss bared her fangs and growled again,
more menacingly this time.
Sensing movement behind her, Haley spun around and froze.
"Hello, Haley. We haven't officially met yet. I figured it was time to introduce myself."
Chapter 27.
A tall, bearded man with Jake's piercing eyes blocked Haley's exit. A sneer crept across his hate-filled face.
"Aren't you going to say hello to your brother-in-law?"
Haley took a shaky step backward, her knees almost buckling beneath her. It was him. Travis. Everything that happened next was a blur of color and confusion. Katniss let out a savage snarl and leapt toward him, but he'd come prepared. Quick as a flash, he deployed a stun baton. Katniss howled in pain as she flew backward, retreating to the kitchen where she rolled around on the floor, yelping the most unimaginable sounds that ripped at Haley's heartstrings. Travis slammed the kitchen door shut on the injured dog and grabbed Haley by the hair, holding the stun baton threateningly close to her cheek.
"You're gonna do exactly what I tell you to do, or you'll be next in line for a little shock treatment."
Haley moaned softly in response, nodding her head slightly to show that she understood. There was no point in attempting her fledgling self-defense moves with a stun baton hovering inches from her face. Travis wasn't in the mood to be challenged. She'd only end up incapacitated and writhing around in agony like Katniss. Her mind swirled with a slew of unanswered questions. How did he know she would be at the house? Had Caroline called him? Was she in on it too? All that talk of her boys rarely coming around anymore might have been a pack of lies. As sweet as she'd come across, she might be equally as vengeful and devious as her sons. Maybe she believed what Haley had done to her daughter justified this course of action.
"Why are you doing this?"
Haley gasped. Travis let out a contemptuous snort.
"You already know the answer to that. You've been doing enough digging around at Sunrise Manor today to put two and two together."
Haley sucked in an icy breath. "How did you know I visited your mother? Did she tell you?" Travis gave a scathing laugh.
"I knew you were there before she did. I installed a security camera at her house that's linked to an app on my phone. I needed to stay on top of things in case you ever figured it out. Our mother has no idea you're the one who killed Emma. And even if we told her, she wouldn't approve of us teaching you a lesson you'll never forget."
"We?" Haley echoed, fear radiating through her.
"Dylan and I made a pact years ago to avenge Emma's death,"
Travis said, his expression darkening.
"It took us a long time to eliminate everyone in the school. Believe me, we had to date a lot of girls to get the information we needed. But as it turns out, there's always someone who can't keep their mouth shut. Now that we finally know who's responsible for driving Emma to kill herself, it's time for retribution.